Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson. It's Monday, and you know what that means. It's time for Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network. On tonight's show, we'll talk with J.D. Collins, coordinator of officials for NCAA Division I men's basketball. We will talk IU football, the Indianapolis Colts, the Indiana Pacers, the Indy 11, and the Indy Fuel. We will have our Big Boys Moving High School scoreboard update, and we'll look ahead to the week in IU athletics. So let's talk sports. We'll start with Indiana football losing at Maryland 38-35 Saturday afternoon. True freshman Donovan McCulley got his first career start, 14-25 for 252 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, and was sacked 4 times. Stephen Carr, 21 carries, 136 yards, 2 touchdowns. Peyton Hendershot, 6 receptions, 106 yards, 2 touchdowns, and passed Ted Bolzer for the most receiving yards by a tight end in Indiana University history. Hendershot has 125 receptions, 1,383 yards, and 14 touchdowns. Bolzer had 117 catches, 1,337 yards, and 15 touchdowns. Charles Campbell, 3 field goals for the Hoosiers, but it was not enough. Indiana 2-6 and 0-5 in the Big Ten must win the remaining 4 regular season games to become bowl eligible as they play this Saturday at Michigan, 7:30 on Fox. For Maryland, Talia Tungavailoa, the younger brother of Miami Dolphins quarterback Tua Tungavailoa, 26-40, 419 yards, 2 touchdowns. He was sacked twice. Carlos Carrera, 8 receptions for 134 yards, 2 touchdowns. Maryland 5-3, 2-3 in the Big Ten. The Terrapins led 14-10 at half, scoring on their first 2 possessions of the game, and then held on late as Indiana collapsed late in the fourth quarter and could not overcome the Terrapins in College Park. The Indianapolis Colts lost to the Tennessee Titans 34-31 in overtime. Carson Wentz threw an interception deep in his own territory, returned 2 yards by Elijah Molden with 1:26 left in regulation. The Colts came back and scored with 22 seconds left when Jonathan Taylor scored on a 1-yard touchdown run. Wentz threw another interception in overtime that led to a Randy Bullock 44-yard field goal as the Titans sweep the regular season series with the Colts. The Colts beat the 49ers 30-18 the week before on Sunday Night Football. They are 3-5 overall, 1-3 at home, and it's a short week. They host the New York Jets this Thursday at Lucas Oil Stadium, 8:20 p.m. on Fox and the NFL Network. The Indiana Pacers had a rough week, losing 4 in a row, 119-109 against Milwaukee at home, at Toronto 118-100, at Brooklyn 105-98, and then at home against Toronto 97-94. The Pacers host San Antonio this evening, host New York on Wednesday, and then on the West Coast Friday at Portland and Sunday at Sacramento. The Indy 11 finished the regular season with a 3-0 loss at Memphis 901 FC. The 11, 9-15-8, 35 points, finished 6th in the Central Division out of 8 teams. The Indy Fuel beat Cincinnati 6-0 in Cincinnati, 1-1 on the season. They host Toledo Wednesday, host Iowa Friday at Indiana Farmers Coliseum, both games at 7 p.m., and then they are on the road at Wheeling at 4:10 p.m. High school sports time. Let's check the Big Boys Moving Company local high school scoreboard. Big Boys Moving serves you with an attitude of gratitude. Well, in high school football, Bloomington North beat Evansville North 35-30, and Bloomington South beat Castle 16-14 in the Class 5A sectional semifinals. That sets up the Class 5A sectional 15 championship game between the city rivals. It will be Bloomington North at Bloomington South, 7 p.m. this Friday. South won the regular season matchup 28-14 on September 10th at Bloomington South. So the Cougars will come in 7-3. The Panthers 7-2 on the season. Should be a classic North-South matchup for the sectional championship. Edgewood's season has come to an end. The Mustangs lost to Vincennes Lincoln 28-0 in the Class 3A sectional semifinals on the red turf in Ellettsville. Edgewood ends the year at 2-8 under first-year coach Caleb True. In the girls' cross-country state finals at Terre Haute, Columbus North wins the state championship with a score of 79 points. Bloomington North 15th with 365 points. Lily Myers of Bloomington South finished 14th. Clara Crane of Edgewood 37th. Junior Lily Cridge of Indianapolis Bishop Sittard won the individual state championship. In the boys' cross-country state finals at Terre Haute, Brebeuf Jesuit won the state championship with a score of 78 points. Bloomington North was 13th with 344 points. Bloomington South 18th with 441 points. Senior Reese Kilbarger Stump of Columbus North won the individual state championship. And girls high school basketball kicks off tomorrow night. Lighthouse Christian is at Eastern Green and Edgewood is at West Vigo. Lighthouse Christian will play at North Davies on Thursday. Edgewood will play at Greencastle Saturday. Bloomington North at Northview on Thursday and at Greenwood Saturday afternoon at 1:30. And Bloomington South will host Pike 2:30 p.m. Saturday afternoon. That is a look at our high school scoreboard brought to you by Big Boys Moving Company. When we come back, we will talk with J.D. Collins, coordinator of officials for NCAA Division I men's basketball. This is Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network.
When you're preparing to buy a new home, the last thing you should have to worry about is the safety of your possessions. Allow Big Boys Moving to professionally oversee the transport of your precious belongings. Big Boys Moving is locally owned with years of experience. Whether your relocation is local or long distance, allow Big Boys to move you with an attitude of gratitude. Call today, 812-947-1479 or online at bbmoving812.com.
Are you concerned about your life insurance coverage during these uncertain times in history? I'm Adam Beasley with American Senior Benefits right here in Bloomington, and we can help you find the best coverage for you and your family. We work for you to find the best plan out of more than 150 companies. We can compare your existing coverage or start a brand new plan. From newborn to 89 years old, from term to permanent, we'll find what's best for you. Call us at American Senior Benefits, 812-631-2305.
Hi, this is Bloomington's finest police officer, Kylie Jarrett, and I listen to Nick Jenkinson on South Central Indiana News Network.
Welcome back to Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network. It is time to welcome in my guest. He is the coordinator of officials for NCAA Division I men's basketball. J.D. Collins is my guest. J.D., it's a pleasure to have you. I know that basketball season never stops for you, so I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to join me.
You know, you hit the nail on the head. Basketball for me is a 12-month a year. 365 days, it never stops. You know, you get done with the Final Four last year, and literally a week later, the meeting started for this upcoming year, whether that's rules meetings, oversight committee, competition committee, men's basketball committee. And then during the summer, I do all the video work for our fall training. We have all the Division I officials do fall training, and that eats up June, July, and August. The next thing you know, it's September, October. And we're doing basketball. So, yeah, it's that time, my friend.
It is that time, and it's an exciting time with basketball coming back, fans coming back. Let's get into how you got started. You were an official for years. You're a Bluffton, Indiana native. So just talk about kind of the journey that you've been on that's led you to this position of being in charge of the officials for Division One?
Well, I missed hoops when I was in college, so I took the officiating class. Got out of college and started refereeing, did about 3 years of high school ball. Gary Cheeseman, kind of a local legend baseball coach and referee, took me under his wing. And then small college for 3 or 4 years, and then I got in Division One. Had about a 18-year career there, and then I blew my knee out, had it replaced, and went to the administrative side. Was the Mid-American coordinator of officials and the Summit League coordinator of officials, and helped the Big Ten for 5 years. And then 7 years ago, starting my seventh year, selected as the NCAA national coordinator. 2016 was my first tournament. 6 years, five tournaments, and we're already working on next year.
You got lucky that this past March, the entire tournament was in the state of Indiana. So what was that experience like for you, and how many games did you actually get to attend?
You know, it's very interesting. It was very unique that all the games were in the greater Indianapolis area. I was held up in the JW Marriott from the first four all the way through the Elite Eight. And then I actually attended the final four games. So I was in a command central where I had all the games on. I had a replay equipment. I could literally evaluate officials every game, you know, four games at a time going at once. That's how we do it. But it was quite a tournament. I don't think anything's ever been pulled off like that before. And my hat's off to the men's basketball staff for what they did in Indianapolis last season.
So how in the world could you watch four games at once and actually somehow pay attention to everything that's going on?
Extremely difficult to do. Extremely difficult to do. In addition to me watching the games, looking for our success rate or errors that we make, I have four individuals that break down every decision in every game. And so post game, I get a call accuracy chart that tells me exactly how the guys did on the game. And I'll usually match that up with my notes to see if what I saw was what they saw. And that has a lot of impact on who advances in the tournament. So it was quite unique this year, to say the least.
Did you prefer reffing high school over college, or were they kind of the same to you?
Not even close. College basketball is one of the purest forms of basketball. And that's why I left high school ball after 3 years, because I knew I wanted to officiate at the Division I level and at an extremely high level. Fortunately for me, it all worked out really well. Got to experience some really great games and see some great play.
What was the favorite game you've ever reffed, and did you have a favorite place that you'd like to go when you were reffing?
You know, there's so many great arenas across the country. You have to break them down by large arena and small arena. Back in the day when Evansville played at Roberts Fieldhouse in Evansville, and when they packed that place out, that was a very, very special environment. Obviously, going to Madison Square Garden and working in the garden is always a thrill, especially if it's a full house. You know, working at Duke is quite unique because there's only 7,000-8,000 fans, but they're literally vertical and on top of you. And that's what we as referees really want, is that environment to have so much energy in it that it's a special event. You can look at Wisconsin. It's a big arena, but their fans are pretty rabid there. You know, Purdue, Indiana, Michigan, Michigan State. I mean, you start listening to them and you realize, wow, there's some great places to referee in this country for sure.
I can imagine that when the crowds are on you, it can get very tough. But what did you most enjoy about being an official?
You know, I think that the official coach relationship on the floor is adversarial, and the conflict there, and you know, they have a job to do and we have a job to do. And I enjoyed the challenge of trying to overcome that adversity, and both of us working for the same purpose, and that is to provide a fair and equitable environment for the student athletes. Some situations were more intense than others. Some games are just really easy. Some of them aren't. And I enjoyed the challenge of those big assignments.
The uniqueness of working with coaches, and then also dealing with the players itself. I know that it seems like a lot more now players like to complain a lot to the officials. So how hard was that for you dealing with players and or coaches sometimes when the game is close or it gets a little chippy?
Well, you know, you have to look at, you know, the visual of players versus coaches. In the NBA, is a players' league. And so they talk a lot. They're very, very active. And the coaches are not so active. In college, the coaches' game, and they're managing their players. And we really don't take a lot of guff from the players. We do listen to a lot from the coaches, and we try to work with them the best we can. And of course, when they go across the line, then it's a technical foul and you move on. It's not that big a deal. It's two shots, put the ball back in play.
How many technicals have you assessed and how many coaches and players have you ejected?
You know, I don't know the numbers on those. I would say that my style was more of a quick trigger than not, but I certainly don't know the numbers. I guess I would say I had my fair share.
What is the biggest misconception of officials?
Biggest misconception of officiating, and I'm speaking at the Division I level, because these individuals are professionals. They work hard at their craft. They're trying to do the best they can. Their call accuracy generally ranges from 90 to 95% accurate. That's like one or two missed calls in a game. The concept of a makeup call is foreign to Division I officials. You know, the best thing we can do when we miss a call, and trust me, we know when we miss a call. We weren't in the right position. We didn't have the right angle. We thought we saw something when, in fact, the angles changed it on us. When we miss a call, best thing to do is coach yells at you, say, "You're right, coach. I missed that call," and move on. The concept of a makeup call is not part of what we do in officiating.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more with J.D. Collins after this quick timeout. This is Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network.
This is Danny with Weathervane Insurance Solutions. Not only is it especially important for our economy to support local businesses these days, but as your local independent insurance agency, Weathervane Insurance can shop you around with dozens of carriers to ensure you receive the most competitive price and, of course, the best customer service. Find us on the web at weathervaneonline.com. That's weathervaneonline.com.
I'm injury attorney Matt Lloyd. With an injury claim, don't leave cash on the table by not realizing all the Indiana laws that can help you. The insurance company won't tell you about them, but call me for a free consultation to learn all the important steps to get the best settlement. Call or text 812-333-MATT or go online to myinjurycase.com. Let's join forces and fight for a settlement that makes sense for you. 812-333-MATT.
Hi, this is head coach Eric Anderson of the Indiana Cutters semi-pro football team, and I listen to Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on South Central Indiana News Network.
Welcome back to Talking Sports. My guest, NCAA coordinator of Division I officials for men's basketball, J.D. Collins. J.D., we were talking about the misconception of officials, of course, in high school ball in the state of Indiana. They are really desperate for officials. Is that the same at the NCAA level?
You know, currently we do not have a shortage of officials, certainly at the Division I level. Division two or Division three, I think we're in a good place. It is concerning the number of games that are being canceled or postponed because they don't have officials for them at the high school level. I'm engaged with a great organization called Officially Human. You can find that at officiallyhuman.com. Brenda Hilton and Tim Hilton run that organization, and their purpose is to try to help recruit officials. And part of that is teaching parents, coaches, fans, how to treat officials. And unfortunately, at the high school level, sometimes the officials get treated really, really poorly. And they look around and go, you know what? I'm getting paid $50 for this game. I'm not going to put up with this. And they quit officiating. And it's a major problem across the country, not just in Indiana, but across the country. And we, those of us in leadership positions, need to do our part to try to help encourage people to get involved in officiating, because youth sports are way too important for us to neglect.
Talking about your current job as coordinator of officials, what is a typical day like for you during the season?
Well, it depends. There's two types of days. There's the days when I'm in my office and I'm not traveling, or there's the travel days. When I'm not in my office, I usually get up around 6 a.m. I'll have recorded several games from the night before. I'll choose the game I want to observe, not for the who the teams are, but for the who the referees were that were on the game. And I break down the film, break down all their decisions, do a call accuracy on it, do a full report on their mobility, their approach, their communication, their positioning. I do a full report on that, complete the report, send it off to the coordinators, and they send it out to the officials. Then I work on, each week I produce a training film for the referees, and I also produce a film called The Weekly Whistle that I put out for the media folks and fans. And I work on that for a while. And then by that time, it's here we are at the end of the day. If I'm traveling, I might take the 8 o'clock flight to whatever city, fly to Phoenix, get there at, in Phoenix, you'd get there at probably 10 a.m. You try to do the same routine. I've probably broken down a game on the plane. And when I get there, I'll write the report up, submit it, do some work in the afternoon. Then I go to a gym that night, watch a basketball game, go back to my hotel room, fill out a report, and start to process all over the next day. So during the season, it's wall-to-wall basketball for me. Trust me.
Estimate how many games you actually watch in a season.
For the last 3 or 4 years, I've been running, certainly last season, we did everything virtually. So I did everything on film. I looked at 180 games last year. And when I say looked at them, I mean, I broke them down start to finish. The previous season was about 170. The season before that was about 175. That would be in a normal season, about 75 games in person and another 100 on film. And that's prior to the NCAA tournament. You can add another, 68 games to that quantity easily. And trust me, by the end of the year, I'm pretty happy not to have to watch a basketball game for a while. You know what I mean?
I can imagine that for sure. And I know for officials, they're doing 5 and 6 games a week.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that wears on them? Like that's a little bit too much at times?
It depends. If you're a golfer and you golf one time every other week, you're not going to get any better. Right? If you're a golfer and you golf 3 times a week, your handicap's going to come down. You're going to get into the rhythm, and you're going to get a rhythm with that. There's two types of officials out there, those that have full-time jobs and they try to manage their full-time job and officiating. And then there's those officials who are just doing refereeing as a full-time vocation. Both have their benefit. I think those who have full-time employment have more structure and they work less games. And I think they benefit from that. Those who work full time, yeah, they work quite a few nights in a row, but their day looks like referee a game, go to bed, get up, fly to a city, get a bowl of soup, take a nap, do some work, go to the gym. I mean, they're pretty well rested. Now, that said, by February, all of us, referees, coordinators, coaches, players, media folks, we're all tired. We're just all tired. We're tired of the grind. And that's when we have to increase our focus, is when we're in that February timeframe, every game means something. And we have to be really, really focused on the job at hand for that 2 hour period of time.
How are the officials? Are they assigned by the conference? How are they assigned to all these different games? And then I know in high school ball in Indiana, if you're from a certain area, you're not allowed to ref a school you went to and all that stuff. Is that the same in college?
Yeah, we try to keep a conflicts list available, knowing where people attended school and if there's any conflict of interest there. And typically they don't work games at that institution. When we get to the NCAA tournament, we keep that list going, as well as we put a roughly a 60-mile radius on the two teams that are playing and make sure that whoever we're assigning those games to, that they don't live within a 60-mile radius of that school. And that's just protection for everyone, because people can create bias in their mind about how an official thinks of one school or another.
What do you think is the toughest call to make when you're officiating?
You know, different people have different opinions on that. Most fans think the block charge is the hardest call, whereas we referee the defense. So if we find the defense to be legal and there's enough contact for a foul, we know it's an offensive foul and we go the other way. That's not one of the harder calls. There are a lot of bang-bang plays that are so close that generally that's not the hard call. I think the out-of-bounds play that goes off two or three people's legs, boom, it goes out of bounds in a very quick time. Those are hard plays to get right, depending on your positioning on the floor. That's why when we get to the last 2 minutes, when we have out-of-bounds plays, we go look and review those, because they are extremely difficult in full speed.
In all your time as an official and now a coordinator, the game has changed so much. What have you noticed over the years that has made the game better, worse, in anything?
So, you know, obviously the players are faster, bigger, faster, and stronger. And so the pace of the game goes at a much faster pace. That makes the game more difficult. They're more athletic. That makes the game more difficult. They can jump in the air and go around people. It just makes it more difficult. I think the advent of video replay has both made it easier on us and harder on us. It makes it easier on us because we have the ability to go in certain plays under certain rules and get the play right, which is what we want to do. It makes it harder on us because people get tired of us being at the monitor during the last 2 minutes and extending how long the end of that game takes. And we, every year, battle that in the rules committee. There's always things that, hey, we should be able to go to the monitor for that, but we have to manage that and minimize the amount of time that we spend over there doing our job.
The men's basketball game is the only one that plays two 20-minute halves. Everybody else plays quarters. The women have gone to quarters. Do you think eventually the men will go to four quarters as well?
Well, there's a couple things that go with that. You know, we have, we being each conference, each entity has contracts with television partners. And we have, I think it's 42 television units to get in every game. And the women have 30 television units to get in every game. So when they went to quarters, they could get those 30 units in and not break up the game so much that it ruined the flow. When we tried it in the NIT about 3 years ago, it chopped up the game so much that the coaches felt very uncomfortable that they couldn't get a flow going, couldn't keep it going, because we had to chop up those 10-minute segments so much. So it's a bigger question than, hey, why don't you go to quarters? It makes sense. There's other pieces of the pie involved, and I'm not sure that will change that. Plus, when was the last time the Final Four with 75,000 people in it didn't have 75,000 people in it? Well, it was this past April when we couldn't with COVID, but anytime that we have a opportunity for a Final Four with 75,000 people in it, we fill the arena up. So evidently we're doing something right.
Well, JD, I really appreciate the time. Thank you very much. Best of luck this year, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Thanks for having me on. Good luck to you, and let's have a great season. Take care.
Thanks, JD. Appreciate it. My thanks to J.D. Collins for being my guest this week. And IU Sports Women's Tennis at the ITA National Fall Championship Thursday through Sunday in San Diego, California. Men's Tennis at the Big Ten Individual Tournament Thursday through Sunday in East Lansing, Michigan. Field Hockey will be at the Big Ten Tournament Thursday through Sunday in Piscataway, New Jersey. Cross Country hosts the Hoosier Invitational Friday. The women start at 3:20. The men start at 4 p.m. Women's basketball hosts the University of Indianapolis in an exhibition at 7 p.m. Volleyball is at Iowa, 8 p.m. Friday at Northwestern, 1 p.m. Sunday. Wrestling is at Bellarmine with Southern Illinois Edwardsville on Saturday. Rowing is at Ohio State in a scrimmage on Sunday. Men's soccer lost to Maryland 2-0. on Sunday. The Hoosiers will be the 3 seed in the Big Ten tournament, and they will host a Big Ten quarterfinal next Sunday. Thank you for joining us this evening. Thanks to our sponsors. On behalf of the entire team here at the South Central Indiana News Network, my name is Nick Jenkinson. Join us throughout the week on social media and every Monday night right here for more Talkin' Sports.
This was a production of the South Central Indiana News Network.